My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As Scherzer fires the 3-1 pitch, and this one is cranked deep down the left field line. Sailing toward the wall, a leaping catch is made by Wyatt Langford. Are you kidding me? Wyatt Langford, the American League Rookie of the Month in June, scales the wall, brings one back, and ends this top half of the second.
Good morning, Metroplex. Matt Hicks with the call on your home for Rangers baseball. We are also your home for the Dallas Cowboys. Sean Sharif, Bobby Belt, back from vacay. Choppy is out today. We got Peyton Russell running things live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Wyatt Langford at the wall. Wyatt Langford showing off the arm, gunning out a Padre at home plate. But Bobby, it was not enough. They lose another series, 3-1 to San Diego. They have lost five of their last six. They'll pick it up against the Rays tonight at 6:30 on this station. And Tampa, of course, has won five of their last six series.
Yeah, you're just at a point right now where it feels like any bit of momentum that you're starting to pick up, when you feel like, okay, we pick up a couple of victories here, okay, maybe this is where the offense turned around, it really quickly is getting humbled at every turn. And, I mean, that's been the case for the last month and a half, really. I mean, if you look over it, like, they win those four in a row where they beat New York in the final game of the series. Then they sweep Kansas City. So then since then, it's they're 2-8 in the follow-up. And before that four-game sweep, they had lost five in a row, and that was coming off after winning three out of four. It just, they go in these waves where it feels like, okay, here's, you know, you take two steps forward, one step back consistently. Or in this case, two steps forward, three steps back. And you go on these runs where you just cannot hit. And it was another one of those outings yesterday where they get just a single extra base hit. They get the Seager double. And outside of that, some of their hardest hit balls just end up right in the glove of somebody. And it's been a year of bad luck. And it feels more and more like we're getting to the point where you're going to need to make the decision pretty quickly if things don't turn around to sell.
And insult added to all the injuries as the Philadelphia Phillies basically become the Rangers of last year, sending three infielders to the All-Star game in Arlington. The Rangers get blanked with Marcus Semien losing out to Jose Altuve. Here are the American League starters in their hideous, ugly uniforms. Rai would have had the uniforms up already. Adley Rutschman, catcher. Vlad Jr. catching a lot of heat this year at first. Altuve at second. Jose Ramirez at third. Gunner at short. Judge, Soto, Stephen Kwan in the outfield. Yordan Alvarez is your designated hitter. No Rangers.
Yeah, that's obviously.
And Profar in the National League outfield.
Yeah, I mean, that's your one claim for the Rangers is going to be that Jerks and Profar makes it. But look, I mean, I'm not stunned that ultimately, because we were heading into this vote, it was just going to be Semien was the only one that really had the shot at the end. And there just wasn't going to be any chance that he was going to beat out Altuve, I didn't feel like. Despite the best efforts of Jared and everybody else to try and get him there and Josh Smith.
How about
the
Josh Smith play yesterday?
Yeah, no.
That was sick.
Dude, he has been, he's baseball's version of Terrence Steele for me. Where I was throwing dirt on his grave.
So he'll be a bum next year?
No. Only if he, I guess, you know, has an injury in between. But he was one that I just was certain, like, that dude's never going to hit at a major league level. There's no way you can have him in there. It's just a black hole. And that's why I'm an idiot. And that's why Jared Sandler covers the team and, you know, gasses them up. Because he knows about Josh Smith. But, I mean, Josh Smith has a strong case. I'm going to be interested to see, you know, where things happen in terms of like the reserves. That was interested. That's not interesting. That doesn't count.
We have a Bobby Crutchbell in studio where every time he says it's interesting or it's funny, you know, it's interesting. You know, it's funny. You know, it's funny. You know, it's interesting. 900 words in the next 9 seconds. I have the Bobby Bell.
My daughter Laura would not stop hitting that bell while it was out the house over the last couple days. She would just walk by and ding, and so it was starting to get irritating.
Did you teach her this is what she's supposed to listen for when the man rings it?
That's good. See,
where's my midnight dram?
we'll get into the dram later. Yeah. But not
like you did.
No, I did. I'm sipping it. I'm taking it casual with the dram.
Good.
But no, I think that Josh Smith has a strong case for it. You know, we'll see what happens with Marcus Semien as a reserve or whatever else. But it is one where there's not anything that feels like any sort of a slight right now. Like you feel like, yeah, this has been a disappointing year for the Rangers. And so you're not going to see them flooding the starting roster.
How about these AL jerseys? Have you seen them?
I saw them last night. I saw you tweeted
Look
them.
At this.
And you were, yeah, they're not. They're not good.
They're hideous.
It's disgusting.
They are disgustingly Mike McCarthy. The internet's saying these are awful. Just go back to them wearing their team's jerseys. They look like celebrity Little League jerseys. It looks like the human version of barf all over a t-shirt. These are some of the comments.
Yeah, I was trying to think of like it looks like a shirt that you would get it like.
It looks like a softball beer league shirt jersey.
Yeah, or just like it just looks like a. Honestly, like I think this looks like a shirt you would get at like Guess or something, like a t-shirt, some like random.
Guess?
Yeah, like here's a
Guess t-shirt.
I'm just throwing out.
When's
like,
the last time you've been in a Guess? Probably. What, Abercrombie ran out, Bobby?
Years. Fine. Paxson. What do you want me to throw out there?
Stussy? Looks like a Stussy jersey?
It just, to me, it just looks like a regular old dingy t-shirt that's like some like faded.
What color is this? That's my question. Is it red? Is it orange? Is it orange?
Red. It's red on the sleeve, and then, I don't know, it looks like it hasn't been washed. The white looks like it got dirty and they didn't wash it.
Yes.
It looks pretty good, but I mean, they're awful. Yeah, they're not good. And just the awful, what is that, Comic Sans? What's the font there? Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just, it looks like they grabbed font off of whatever the default word font was for the jerseys.
All right, Bobby, calm down the Cowboy Tolos with Dak Prescott in a walking boot yesterday on the internet.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion and a lot of freaking out, or in some cases, a lot of people saying, oh, is Trey Lance going to finally be able to get his shot during training camp? But Dak Prescott was seen wearing a boot while he was on vacation in Cabo. Something about Cowboys players in Cabo. Like, it's not a good mix. We get too many bad headlines coming out of there. But Dak Prescott was seen in a walking boot. And the concerning thing here is just the number of updates we're getting as to why he's in one or how much he's been in one or whether he's still in one or whether he isn't. And basically what this comes down to is the report is that it's a foot sprain or that he suffered a foot sprain recently. Dak had texted Clarence Hill, told him, I'm fine. My foot had gotten swollen or my ankle got swollen the last time that I had gone in the water. And so I wasn't risking that again. I wear it just as a precaution. But the report is a right foot sprain. I know Broadus said that he was dealing with ankle soreness. I had asked somebody, I was told he's fine. Don't worry about it. Todd Archer saying that he'll be ready for training camp on July 25th. So it's something that I think is okay. I don't think it's a major concern, but it's never a good look when it has to come out with, you know, a social media photo instead of just being discussed.
I want to know from the Tolos the times you've been in a walking boot. And was it for something as small as, yeah, if you sprain your ankle, crutches? Like, I've been on crutches after stepping on a nail, a very minor foot sprain. They're going to put your foot and leg in the walking boot.
So,
and I wonder what Dak's thought process was while being in Cabo, thinking whether he would be photographed or not. I'm dying to know that.
Zero. I bet he just thought there in that area.
Yeah, we don't have any Cowboy fans in Mexico.
No, but like,
we don't have any Mexican Hispanic Cowboy fans.
I'm sure.
At all.
I'm sure he just thought, like, it. Even if somebody saw it, he's probably not thinking somebody's going to take a photo of it as he's walking away and tweet it. Like, that's probably not high on the list of things that he thought was possible. But I do think that I've seen Jayron Kearse, for instance, have a walking boot on leaving a game, and then the next week he played. I know he missed a game, but when Dak had the calf injury, I'm pretty sure Dak was in a boot leaving the game that night. And so it's happened before where you don't miss much time while you're in a boot.
Dak injury history: 2022, missed 5 games with a fractured right thumb. 2020, suffered season-ending compound fracture of the right ankle, missed 11 games from 16 to 19, started every game in all 4 seasons, and started every game last season. ESPN not taking us to the other lower level body injuries.
469 says got gout and was in a boot, so painful. 682 tore a ligament in my foot, was in a walking boot for 3 months.
Justified.
Another 682 says
they'll, like, put look what Luka's doing for Slovenia while basically having 2 legs in a boot, judging off the NBA finals.
Yeah, Luka. I mean, Luka wears walking boots all the way up to like tip off to like show you like, hey, I don't feel good. But 682 does bring up a good point. I think they're going to put your foot in a boot if you work for $65 million. Like, if you're making as much money as he is, I could see them saying, please just wear it. Like, don't take any chances with it.
What is Luka doing?
Luka is trying to rally Slovenia after they had gotten beat by Croatia in the first round. So they didn't qualify. Slovenia didn't for the Olympics. So they're having to play in this basically wild card round qualifier to get the last spot into the Olympics. But they had lost to Croatia, so they were pretty much had no more room for error. He put up a 36-point triple-double in their last game, and now he heads for a Saturday matchup with Giannis Antetokounmpo and Greece. And so if they're able to win that game, they're then likely moving on to play Croatia for the right to get into the get into the Olympics. And I am just rooting for Giannis and Greece to shut this down fast, because I don't need Luka playing any more than he has to this point. He played 700 more minutes last year than he ever had in his career.
Oh,
and that's, I mean, 700, but that's 20 games. If you're talking about 35 minutes a game, that's 20 games. And to go 20 games, and then if he's to play in this qualifier, like not even get the rest leading up to the Olympics, but he gets the qualifier, then they're in the Olympics, then he's rolling right into the next season. That's, I don't feel comfortable with that. I'd like this to just end Saturday.
Let's
please.
Go freak.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go freak.
I am going to be rooting for Giannis to
end. Not that freak. That one is already dead. But the basketball player freak.
I would watch. I think I'm going to watch this on Saturday. I don't know where it's going to be on. If I got to find a bootleg stream, I'll do it. But this is actually something that I am kind of interested in watching.
The WBC expelled Ryan Garcia from any activity with the organization after he used racial slurs against black people, disparaged Muslims, and comments while live streamed on social media. He talked about digging up George Floyd and killing him again, repeatedly dropping the N-word. Get this piece of crap out of here and get him some help. Holy mackerel.
Is he crazy or is he
a D? He's crazy.
I'm down to the fact
he
that
he might
I think
be a D
nuts.
Too, but he's crazy.
Because and his whole as they say in the ESPN story, Garcia posted an apology of sorts on X. I was trolling. I want all the killing to stop. I love everyone. Sorry if I offended you. That's the thing, is that I think he's a crazy person who believes he's trolling, like, because he doesn't have a grasp on what's going on. Some of the stuff he said is wild, like leading up to, you know, a couple months ago when he was leading up to his fight and he was talking about being taken into the woods and all this Illuminati stuff that he was forced to watch. I mean, the dude's just, he does not seem stable at all.
His dad gave an interview where he was hoping that his son would get help for his drinking.
Spoken to Ryan in a long time. I'm being real. What I'm seeing is that I would love for him to get some type of therapy when it comes to his drinking. He says he can control it. Well, I hope he can. But if he doesn't, that's what I'm talking about. Get that therapy so that he can stop.
And then Ryan responded, like, I haven't talked to my dad in a long time. Or he eventually realized that he was wrong, you know, and he apologized to me. So that is that dip-ass nut job, Ryan Garcia, up out of there after what he did on social media. That's everything you need to know for your Friday heading into the weekend here on Sean and RJ. Choppy out until Monday. We got Bobby Roberto Belt back with us. Winners and losers of the NBA offseason. How many people are absolutely loving what your Dallas Mavericks did and the Bronny contract? I think to make you roll your eyes, plus an absolutely loaded junk drawer you cannot afford to miss. The Expressway is commercial free right after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Thank you, Pepe, Phil Russell. This is the Expressway, and we are commercial free up until 8 o'clock. Sean Sharif with Bobby Belt. Hopefully you are checking us out somehow, some way, because it doesn't look like it's out there on the roads. Happy July 4th weekend.
It's a little light. So Kristen, when she drops Jacob
off.
I'm
so pissed off at myself for not catching this. I'm so ticked off that RJ got the day off. I'm not mad at RJ. I'm envying that he was quicker than I was. Because every year, Peyton, July 4th changes. So yeah. I didn't even think that I'd be working when July 4th came around, and as Corey Majors found out, the schedule can trick you up a little bit. So I'm sitting there. I was so bitter at the party I was at yesterday in Arlington. They're like, why aren't you cutting loose? Why aren't you doing anything? Da, da, da. And I'm like, I have to go home and work. I gave ourselves a 3-hour maximum time limit. I woke up and did like 3 hours worth of work. Fortunately, we had Dak content in a walking boot. Still got a lot of Klay Thompson stuff. But man, was I bitter having to sit here and do this show today. I'm not going to lie. I can't.
Well, and it's
was like, you know, it was a little, not excited. What would be less than excited to see Bobby and work with Bobby again?
Oh, do you guys hear that? He missed me.
Man, this sucks.
No, it does. Well, and the other thing is like,
except for you guys listening,
the content creators take off July 4th too. So like anybody like stories, there's not a lot of stories being written. So it's like we're coming.
So do doctors, as I found out. Yeah. Thanks, Dr. Jacobs. Appreciate it. Emergency callback. I think my phone was on. Thank you.
I know Kristen was on the road this morning taking Jacob back from work. She dropped him off and she was driving back and she said normally it's 42 minutes and she just sent me a screenshot of the map and it was like 29. So it's a little light out there, yeah. But I know because we saw it on the Frankel injury attorney's text line that there's a lot of people working today still, a lot of people tuning in and listening all over the country, as a matter of fact. So we're still here.
Okay.
We're still working.
It's okay, Sean. Next year, you're saved if you're still here. July 4th. July 4th is on a Friday.
It is?
So you get the long weekend.
Okay, so are we going to get the Thursday or the Monday off? Because that's how it normally works in my brain. Wait, you said it's on a Friday?
It's on a Friday.
Okay, so, my bad. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, so that's it. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I mean, we got paid on Wednesday because there's like a lot of...
Is that what you call it? I looked at my phone. I was like, oh, I got paid. That sucks. I look at my bank account. I look at my bank account and I'm like, there was no payment. And then I like check one of the accounts and it's there. And I was like, oh, it didn't even make a dent. That's not good. Not good for me.
Kristen had texted me, she's like, you got paid? I was like, I don't think so. And now I'm starting to really question because this holiday has screwed some things up.
All up in your business.
She just logged into the app and saw it. So it's weird because I had paid rent on the 1st and I saw it in our bank account, come out of our bank account. So yesterday when she's like, you got paid, I was like, oh, okay, let me go look. And I looked and I was like, yeah, I did. But there's more in there than the deposit and what was in the checking account. I was like, that's what, like significantly more. And I went and looked and I was like, that charge for rent is gone. It's not listed in my bank account anywhere. Like in the transaction, I was like, I saw it in there. It's gone now. And that
they should have, Peyton's landlord should have the same conscience as your people.
And that money is in my bank account now. The money for rent is in there. And I was like, okay, let me go check with our resident portal. So I look, they still listed as it's been paid and I did it. And so I was like, okay, well, I don't know what's going on. Screw with the holiday that the bank is now.
Stop talking. Stop talking on 100,000 watts. All right, NBA winners and losers. Is there any way that someone doesn't have the Mavs with a W next to their name? But before we get to that, how about the Bronny contract?
Dude, I texted to you that night, or maybe it was the day after. I am, probably to no surprise, I'm really exhausted with Bronny, and he's already
He seems like a good kid.
Yeah, he seems like a great kid with like a really solid head on his shoulders.
Here's the rookie contract: 4 years, $8 million, team option in the fourth season. He'll make 1.1 this year, and the report from Woj is that they're going to start him off in the NBA so they can get LeBron his selfish moment. And LeBron can play with him, and then they'll send him down to the G League basically for the rest of the year. But everyone went and compared other number 55 picks and the money that they got. Remember, 4 years, $8 million guaranteed. Last year's number 55 pick, Isaiah Wong, got a 1 year, two-way deal with the Pacers that got him at most just under $600,000. The same pick in 2022. Got a 3-year deal with the Warriors worth up to $5.1 million, much better, but only a fifth of that money was guaranteed. And then my brother, shout out on the Odyssey app use, just sent me other 55 overall pick money. Kyle Guy, 2-way contract. Jay Scrub, 2-way contract. Aaron Wiggins, not Andrew, 2-way contract. Bronny James, 7.9.
Yeah, it's it's the benefit of being LeBron James's kid, no doubt about it. But I will say, as much as I'm rolling my eyes at it and everything else, that first game they play, I'm gonna
it'll be cool.
I'm gonna smile the first time LeBron throws an alley-oop to Bronny. and they or Bronny throws it to LeBron, whatever it is.
Not to Bronny.
Like, I mean, whatever it would be. I mean, he can dunk. He can dunk. And LeBron's, I would guess LeBron would feel more comfortable making that pass. But it's one of those where when that happens, I'm going to think it's cool. As much as LeBron kind of grates on me and now Bronny's getting there just by proxy, it's going to be a cool moment. I'm going to like it. It's interesting you mentioned. Damn it. It's fascinating that you mentioned the angle of what feels like a privileged existence for Bronny, even related to the NBA contract scale. Because as I was doing show prep yesterday, the most viral post on July 4th over on Reddit that I saw was in the NBA section. And it was somebody arguing that Bronny is the biggest example, and an underrated part of the discourse surrounding Bronny is the idea that basketball is no longer a game of getting it out of the mud, of the hoop dreams, kids. Like, it's the AAU, it's basically become a rich man's sport. And all youth sports at a high level have become a rich man's sport in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And so, but that they were talking about how, look, I mean, basketball for years has prided itself on came from nothing, came up, succeeded, and it was the getting it out of the mud sport. And it's obviously a meritocracy and it's a spectrum, but basketball is moving further away from it, it feels like. And I don't think it's fair to just pin that on Bronny as the example, but it's an example of it that allows you to look at it.
And again, it's a double-sided argument. It is, what would you do if you were LeBron versus us as sports fans rolling our eyes? Like, look at the scrutiny you set this kid up for.
Mm-hmm.
But you also got him an $8 million contract. So which one do you side on? Like, what would you have done if you were LeBron James? Get him drafted. Get him $8 million guaranteed with the scrutiny and all the nepotism that comes with it. Or you got to go ahead and be on your way. If you're undrafted, you got to work your way into the league. That is the $8 million question.
Has history been, recent history, has history been kinder to LeVar Ball? Like, do we look at that and say ultimately, like,
I think LeVar Ball shutting up has been kinder.
That's true. But
what happened to LeVar?
Do we look at it and say that LeVar has done, like, do we ultimately say, like, LeVar probably did some things right? Or do we look at it and say, no, he still cost his kids money or had no net impact? Like, I think if you look at his middle son, LiAngelo, he absolutely probably made him more money than he would have normally. And so from that perspective, you could say, as annoying as it was, LeVar did what was right for his kids. And ultimately, I think when you see the way he's interacted with his kids and stuff, I have a better view of LeVar Ball than I did in the moment. Like, I look at him further away and I go, that's a guy who just, he really did love his kids and wanted to try and see them succeed. And I think it's probably similar with LeBron. I'll probably have a better view of it when we're past the moment.
NBA offseason winners and losers from two different lists. I'll start with CBS Sports. Losers, the LA Lakers. Klay Thompson told them no. Had his dad crying as the Laker radio commentator.
That was the whining that he was like. I mean, it was almost like somebody ripping it. It sounded like me talking about like McCarthy after the Cowboys season ends or something. Like, he was talking about his own kid that way.
And then Buddy Hield spurned them over the weekend, signing with the Warriors. I think I read the only player in the NBA with or the second most made threes in the NBA since 2017. Was Buddy Hield, and Buddy told the Lakers no. Winner, Philadelphia 76ers with Paul George.
Well, I mean, not just with Paul George, but I mean, everything that they've been able to do, it's been really impressive the way that they've been able to, you know, what get else? Another star with, because what all was it? They got Kelly Oubre over there. They were able to get Eric Gordon. They've got Andre Drummond. Like, they've made a bunch of different moves with what a lot of people, I don't think, felt like was they had the resources to make those moves. And to add Paul George to the mix, Tim Bontemp said this the other day on the Hoop Collective, and it kind of caught me off guard for a second. I was like, no. But then when I thought about it, I was like, it's probably true, which is Philadelphia probably has the best trio in the NBA now.
Bontemps is in love with the 76ers.
He is. And he's a hater of the Clippers. And so him getting Paul George out of there and to the Sixers is probably good. But I mean, you think about Paul George, Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid. Yeah. That's you're going to have a tough time finding a better three.
Does a big three matter in the NBA anymore with the way the Celtics have set up a blueprint? Clippers, loser, according to the CBS. Winner, New York Knicks. Even though they overpaid for Bridges, they are deep. They are long, and their chemistry may push them over the top. winner Oklahoma City Thunder with Hartenstein and Caruso, winner Golden State Warriors from CBS. After losing Clay, striking out on Paul George, they get DeAnthony Melton, Kyle Anderson, and now Buddy Hield. Everyone keeps trying to stir up Lauri Markkanen reports out there. Winner, Cleveland Cavaliers, Donovan Mitchell staying 3 years for $150. Winner, Jason Tatum. Oh, I was thinking of you when he got the richest contract in NBA history, $315 over $5 million.
Yeah, good for Jason Tatum. He's awesome. I love it. It's a good thing they don't pay people for originality in the NBA, because otherwise he would never have gotten paid.
Winner, Dallas Mavericks. Here's the write-up. So far, the Mavs have exchanged essentially Derrick Jones Jr. for Najee Marshall and Josh Green and Tim Hardaway for Klay Thompson. I think those are all upgrades. For all the talk of Thompson's decline, and it's definitely true, he is not the all-star or even a penciled-in all-star anymore. He shot 39% on 9 threes per game last season. On that alone, he's going to really help Dallas, which could look a lot different if Jason Kidd allows Clay to run around as he's accustomed to doing rather than stand at the arc and space the floor for Luka and Kyrie ISOs. Thompson is not going to be a featured guy, but trying to keep track of all his movement while paying the necessary amount of attention to the superstars could be a nightmare. Luka, who is the best inside-out passer in the world, has never played with a shooter like Thompson. Don't underestimate this addition just because the perception of Clay is not that he was what he used to be. He's still a pretty damn good player on most nights. As for Marshall, argument that Jones Jr. is the better or at least more athletic defender, but Marshall is a stout 6'7 chaos agent. Oh, I love that phrase. A chaos agent with a 7'1 wingspan. Generally speaking, both these guys are 3-and-D, but while Jones doesn't really bring much of the three part, Marshall's coming off a career year of 39% nearly from beyond the arc. That number includes 40% on wide open threes, which he'll get plenty of, and 42% on corner threes, which Luka creates better than anyone. I like both the additions Dallas has made.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's a big victory for them. I like the draft pick of Ajinka. I think that that was a positive, another one, a good developmental prospect. And yeah, Clay is not what he once was, but I mean, when we were sitting out there in Irving at the golf course for the remote a couple months ago, when it was brought up about the idea of Klay Thompson replacing Tim Hardaway Jr. here in Dallas, I had said it then that it's like I would take Klay Thompson in any circumstances at like the age of 39, past all of his injuries and everything else, and give him double minutes than I gave Tim Hardaway Jr. because yes. Tim Hardaway Jr. was bad. He just wasn't good. Now, I did not say it. What's just really compelling, if you look at
because everything can't be fascinating either.
I know.
We're a bunch of dummies.
I know. I'm gonna have to have a thesaurus.
Yes.
When you talked about how Golden State had to have him come off the bench at times last year. So he played 77 games. He came off the bench for 14 of them. I was curious what the splits looked like. Like, was he impacted by having to come off the bench? Was he any different? Was he rustier? He was much more efficient coming off the bench last year than starting.
Oh.
So during the games he started,
yeah,
he
said he played better second half of the season.
He shot 42. Well, and it wasn't even consistent.
When he got benched.
It wasn't even consistent. It was like he was coming off the bench for four game stretches and then he'd start a few and then coming off the bench for a couple. But he had shot 42% in games he started, 46% when he was coming off the bench. His 3-point shooting was 5 percentage points better. He averaged 2.5 points more per game in 3 fewer minutes coming off of the bench. And so much more efficient coming off the bench. I obviously don't think that that's going to be the play here. I think that he's coming here to start and be your third scorer. But it's something that I think is worth noting that maybe as things progress, maybe by the end of this contract, he is, you know, just a bench player, a sixth man.
Another winner from CBS Sports NBA offseason, Klay Thompson. Thompson may not feel like he won in this deal. He feels slighted by the Warriors. He ends up taking less money on an annual basis from the Mavs than the Warriors were reportedly offering at one point last year. But $50 million for a guy who was rightfully removed from starting and closing lineups for parts of last season is not chump change. More importantly, he gets a fresh start. With Golden State, he was always being compared to the player he used to be. In Dallas, he can just be the player he is now, which is still pretty good when measured against proper expectations. with a legit shot at a fifth title. Other winners and losers, winner, James Harden. Winner, New Orleans Pelicans. They picked up DeJounte Murray with the Hawks trade that did not work out with Trae Young. Winner, Brooklyn Nets. They turned Kevin Durant into 9 first-round picks. 9. Loser, Denver Nuggets. People are talking, the Hoops Collective is talking about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope leaving them, and is something going to happen with Aaron Gordon as well? Man, I loved Aaron Gordon in Denver. I don't think he's officially gone yet. Winner, San Antonio Spurs. Winners, young players getting big extensions. Winners, Orlando Magic. Loser, Atlanta Hawks. So there we go.
I think all of that I generally agree with. The only one that ESPN, Chris Herring over at ESPN when he was doing his winners and losers, the only one that's a deviation from what CBS has, he has Golden State as losers. He says that this was, he said, you let Klay Thompson and, you know, Chris Paul leave for basically minimal return, and you missed out on your big target, Paul George. You were, and so you've got all these different areas where they've struck out. Even if you feel like Buddy Hield is a nice fit and you like what you're getting there, they say that ultimately, Chris Herring says that if you look at it, the fact that they weren't able to accomplish their goals and what they had set out before them is enough to say, well, this ultimately is not a success for Golden State.
Winners and losers of the NBA offseason. This is the expressway where you always win because there are no commercials here on DFW Sports Station. What did Bobby learn about himself while on vacation? That starts the junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
Yeah, it was a nice, what was it, 8 days off, essentially.
You feel refreshed?
No. I think I slept about as much as I typically do. And that's not just because I was waking up early. It's because it's just I was having trouble winding down, going to sleep, or we were doing different things. We were still having to get up, take Jacob to work each morning, stuff like that. And so it was. I got maybe a little more sleep because I was able to take a couple naps over the course of it. But I learned a few things while I was out. Number one was exactly that. My sleep cycle is ruined forever. Yep. It's done. And I blame this.
A lot of people will say, oh, don't you get used to it? You just get used to it in morning radio. I don't think RJ, because he's Mr. Productive and, you know, the couch is for lazy people and air conditioning's for lazy people versus going out and torching and tearing up his yard. I always ask people in the building, what time slot would you prefer the most? The number one answer is midday hours, but RJ would pick the mornings, and there'd be some other people that pick the mornings. And then the other thing people always ask about this shift is, don't you just get used to it? What would you say to that, Pepe? Doesn't your body just eventually doesn't it adjust? I agree with you. Totally agree.
Because now if I could
adjust to being a half a zombie every single day of my life and wanting to go to sleep early on Friday night.
Because with the games, I can't force myself to go to sleep at like 8 o'clock and get a full, you know, 7-8 hours of sleep. I'm going to sleep at 10:30 still.
Yes.
You know, it's basically a nap I'm taking that when usually people, you know, will sleep in.
Here's the thing that I learned is that I know I've slept in before, missed the start of the show a couple times. It's not been frequent. And obviously, everybody likes to say that when I get in here at 6, that's me oversleeping. It's not. That's what time I'm here. But here's
hopefully
what you can
that'll
take,
be part of my contract.
Here's what you can take comfort in, Sean. I will never be here later than 6:40. That'll never happen. The most I will ever miss is going to be...
Well, thank God for that.
...is to 6:40.
Thank you, Bobby.
Because I kept waking up between 5:45 and 6:15 every morning without an alarm going off.
Really?
It didn't matter what time I went to bed, anything. It's just like, get up. You got to get up. And I woke up in a panic on like 3 different days thinking, oh, crap, I overslept. I got to get to work.
Yes.
And so that internal fear existed. I woke up this morning without the alarm going off. I woke up like 2 minutes before it. And
Roy always believed he no longer ever needed the morning alarm. That his body clock would wake him up exactly when he needed to.
I'm not comfortable enough to do that yet.
Well, Roy shouldn't have been either. The theory was not correct.
Because my alarm is supposed to go off at 5. I didn't wake up at 5 any day while I was out. But I did wake up on my own around 5:45, yes. 6 o'clock, something like that each time. So,
because my people will be like, why don't you just sleep in Saturday? Oh, why don't you just sleep in? Why are you tired on Saturday and Sunday at like 1 or 2? I'm like, because Monday through Friday... 1 or 2 hits me as my usual fatigue time waking up at 4, and then my sleep schedule doesn't just, I can't flip the switch on a weekend to sleep until 10 a.m., which I wish I could.
Well, I mean, I got up yesterday, for instance, at 6 or so, and Kristen was trying to tell me, she's like, just, you got to sleep in. Like, go back to bed, sleep in tomorrow. I was like, okay, I'm about to go back to work on Friday. I need to get back to as close to waking up on time as I need to. And even still,
that's pretty dumb.
But 6 a.m. is sleeping in for me. That's an hour extra than I normally get.
Yeah.
So I do feel like that is sleeping in.
All right. So lesson number one from Bobby, vacay, sleep schedule, screwed.
Number two, there is no winning with Sean Sharif. So I'm listening to the Expressway on Wednesday, and I hear you guys talking about weddings from Chopping It Up, where he's talking about the invitation to not come to the wedding or whatever it was.
The invite.
And you were talking about on-site weddings, like people who are all at the same location and in the same hotel. And you said that's great because then you won't get people like Bobby who are trying to make it about themselves.
I didn't say making it. Well, maybe I did. Yeah.
Peyton, if you will go look in your folder, it is in your folder, Peyton. Search it.
I'll believe it. You don't have to look.
It's Sean _ Wednesday. Look for that clip. It's in there.
I love being in a spot where I know everyone's going to get messed up.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to have Bobby try to make it about him and bail, not have a drink. Yeah. I'm going to go to the big wedding. I'm not going to get drunk and do anything. I'm going to try to ruin everyone's time by leaving early, or maybe that would make everyone's time better.
So.
Okay.
I feel like.
Ring one up for Bobby.
I've been criticized routinely around here for making it about myself by drinking and by trying to stay out so late.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, where is the winning with you? Where am I able to, Bobby, to win about not making it about me? What doesn't make it about me?
My issue with the other night, which was, by the way, a blast. I think your wife was texting my wife how much fun she had.
She was.
Because it was a freaking blast.
And I was being very amenable. She was saying, are you sure you don't want to go?
Oh my gosh, like, Amanda, she's like, why was Bobby so cool? Like, what was the big difference? And she's like, I hope, you know, we haven't gotten to him too. Well, I said that. She wouldn't have that sympathy or thought.
No, she wants me to change.
Yeah, she was. I said, well, I hope it didn't, like, scar him by busting his balls too much about when he drinks. And he just, like, went to the other side. But, man, he was so chill. He was so cool and chill. But you wanting to leave is what irritated and scared me. You kept trying to leave and go after the next drink, and that's when I threw a fit over.
I felt guilt.
But you stayed. You stayed till 2:30.
I didn't.
Doesn't it make you feel good that I didn't want you to go anywhere?
Yes.
And I was like, Will, you can go. Go ahead. Bye. See you later.
And it was my preference at that time to go back because I felt bad about leaving the babysitter there.
Yep.
And
Kristen's like, they're there till we get home.
And Jacob came home and he ended up like just letting the babysitter off. And so by the end, I was tired. I was not anticipating going out that night. So I'd not like prepped for it, like taking a nap during the day or anything.
Let me ask you a follow up question. Mm-hmm. Being as sober as you were, did that make you crave being drunk with the rest of us, or were you like, this is kind of a refreshing change? Did it make you rethink at all, like, your level of wastedness in a moment like that?
I don't know, because you guys were all, I could definitely tell by the number of drinks you consumed, y'all were all drunk, but none of you were like sloppy,
right?
And so
even Kristen,
yeah, no, I mean, I was genuinely impressed with how well Kristen handled her liquor.
And I was trying to get shots too. I was making everyone take shots.
But man, I was just, it wasn't like y'all were sloppy. If everybody's sloppy and I'm not, I'm going to be sitting there going like,
this like Amanda would be annoyed. She'd like not be able to be around drunk people.
I'd be like, this is miserable.
Yeah.
Like being the only sober person. Yeah. But I mean, I wasn't, it's not like I didn't have, I had three drinks over the course of 6 hours.
Yes.
But I mean, I had two at the dinner table. So I had like a slight buzz early. The last 3 hours or so, nothing.
Yeah.
But overall, no, it was fun.
I think
fun.
You're around, a big difference is being around professional drunks, which John is a pro. I can be a pro back in my days. Will is a pro. And then you got the wild cards with the girls, and they were loving life with each other. So it was all good.
Will came over on Wednesday night and continued his professional drinking. So he had some of the dram.
I saw like a saltine cracker.
He did. I told him, I was like, I've got your palate cleanser here. And he's like, that was so overblown.
It really wasn't. As Bobby's wife got like a sample drink and Will thought it was a palate cleanser and he scolded the waitress or the waiter saying, Where's my palate cleanser? Where's my little palate cleanser? Where's my ginger?
Yeah, that's what. And so I told him, I was like, I've got saltines here. He's like, well, that actually is a palate cleanser. I will take one. And so he did take it because he was consuming all of the liquors you got me. So he tried each one of them.
Okay.
So we have broken into those. The Belfour's almost gone.
Okay.
That's almost out. I'm taking my time.
Is that the one
Choppy
said was the best?
No, that was the other one. The Belfour's the.
I think I may have stumbled upon a great deal, and this liquor store doesn't know it. For what I paid for all three bottles, because I had to buy them in that gift wrap basket. Mm-hmm. And RJ's like, no, the best one is not what Bobby wanted, which you told me was.
Will tried that one. Will said it was really good.
Okay.
I haven't tried that one yet, but we had the dram. He thought that he's like, yeah, dram's incredible.
What else did you learn?
So I need to get the hell out of our apartment. That's what I need to do.
Peyton, you're living at the Ritz compared to this, bro.
So Wednesday night was the first time in the entire week that I was out that I slept in my own bed. Thanks to the power going out for a third time in the last month. And by the way, this is not like a complex wide thing. It's like the first four buildings of our complex. It's the same transformer.
You moved apartments within the same complex.
Uh-huh.
Is that last apartment going out?
No.
And Kristen, didn't she pick this unit?
Yes, which I brought up at dinner, right,
really?
To her face.
Yeah.
I was like, so Kristen, it's your fault.
It's ultimately,
along with your ski slope floor that you can do slalom races down.
She's still glad we switched because the other one had more windows than the current one, and it faced.
Oh,
no,
oh God.
Listen.
More windows.
Listen.
Holy crap.
It was
I want less windows.
It was ridiculously difficult to cool in the summer. Because it was like.
Are you paying the monthly AC bill or the apartment?
No, I am. Okay. Like it's the electric bill, and so I mean we used to in the summer.
But it's collective for the building, right?
No. It's not. It's not. It's not split up. It's for your unit.
Oh.
And so with the sun beating down on that, we would regularly get $400 electric bills in a 900 square foot apartment.
Just get a curtain.
No, because that's it. You can put it on the inside, but they won't let you put anything on the outside window.
Right.
So that's the best way to keep it.
So you still got HOAs.
So, yeah, essentially. Yeah. But the power went out for a third time in a month. And so to me, it's like, okay, Encore's clearly not fixing this. This is they're patching something. And so I'm like this close to just going Karen. And going to the
Sharon public, is the Twitch Twitch calls me
Shania, the Public Utilities Commission of Texas, and just lodging a complaint. Like they're not fixing this, or like would you check on this and make sure they are? Because we ended up having to stay at a hotel the first couple nights, and then when we came back, there was an ant pile outside one of the windows, and a bunch of like fire ants had been able to get in.
No,
yeah, and
oh
so
my gosh,
we took care of that.
Not bed bugs, but fire. So. How did you take care of it?
So she just had to spray it and stuff like that. And but
you saw ants in your place.
Yeah, they had like gotten in. And so that was something where they had to come through and figure it was like there was a window. The window sill was off or something. But ultimately, that ruined. And then we spent a couple days in Fort Worth for Stockyards, which was already planned. So those days I wasn't sleeping in our bed. And so it was a pretty rough stretch from that point. So I'm going to have to go about figuring out how to get the hell out of this particular unit at the very least, because I'm sick of it.
Third one in the same complex.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'd like to get a house, Sean.
Do you?
Yeah.
Peyton's got 92 degrees at his house.
Yeah, that's true.
He's leasing.
And he's not even owning it. He's just throwing it away. The fourth thing I learned, if I ever win the lottery, I'm going to continue to work in some capacity because I can't. I need to stay busy because Kristen was like concerned about me yesterday. She was like, you seem down about everything. You're not like you don't have your normal.
You missed us.
Like joy. Like I'm not that I'm an overly joyous person.
No, you're not.
But she's like, you seem like not even angry. She said you just seem like dead. And she was like, it's just a little. And as she told you over the weekend, I was doing housework while I was off. because I was busy. Like, I just, I felt like I had to.
I couldn't believe it.
I had to do something to fill up
Daddy
my time.
Daddy does work and you just do housework.
Not anymore, honey. Like, I mean, Kristen was getting mad. She told me yesterday, she's like, you're pissing me off. She's like, because she'd be up doing the dishes. I'd be like, go sit down. I'll do it. Or like, Jacob needs to get takeaway. I was like, I'll get up. I'll take him. I'll pick him up. And it's like, I'll do the dishes.
You came to the radio station to do your prep work on a day off.
Yeah, on a holiday.
No one. What did Kristen say to that when you're like, I have to get out of here. I'm going to work.
She was fine. She understood, like, I needed to just, because I knew it was going to be a prep where I was going to have to really dig in because of what was going to be available out there in the news site.
And what did Bobby learn about himself while on vacation? That starts the junk drawer.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
Yeah, it was a nice, what was it, 8 days off, essentially.
You feel refreshed?
No. I think I slept about as much as I typically do. and that's not just because I was waking up early. It's because it's just I was having trouble winding down, going to sleep, or we were doing different things. We were still having to get up, take Jacob to work each morning, stuff like that. And so it was, I got maybe a little more sleep because I was able to take a couple naps over the course of it. But I learned a few things while I was out. Number one was exactly that. My sleep cycle is ruined forever. Yep. It's done. And I blame this.
A lot of people will say, oh, don't you get used to it? You just get used to it in morning radio. I don't think RJ, because he's Mr. Productive and, you know, the couch is for lazy people and air conditioning's for lazy people versus going out and torching and tearing up his yard. I always ask people in the building, what time slot would you prefer the most? The number one answer is midday hours. But RJ would pick the mornings, and there'd be some other people that pick the mornings. And then the other thing people always ask about this shift is, don't you just get used to it? What would you say to that, Pepe? Doesn't your body just eventually...
Hell no.
Doesn't it adjust? I agree with you. Totally agree.
Because now if I could...
Yeah, I adjust to being a half a zombie every single day of my life and wanting to go to sleep early on Friday night.
Because with the games, I can't force myself to go to sleep at like 8 o'clock and get a full, you know, 7-8 hours of sleep. I'm going to sleep at 10:30 still.
Yes.
You know, it's basically a nap I'm taking that when usually people, you know, will sleep in.
Here's the thing that I learned is that I know I've slept in before, missed the start of the show a couple times. It's not been frequent. And obviously, everybody likes to say that when I get in here at 6, that's me oversleeping. It's not. That's what time I'm here. But here's
hopefully
what you can
that'll
take.
Be part of my contract.
Here's what you can take comfort in, Sean. I will never be here later than 6:40. That'll never happen. The most I will ever miss is going to be...
Well, thank God for that.
...is to 6:40.
Thank you, Bobby.
Because I kept waking up between 5:45 and 6:15 every morning without an alarm going off.
Really?
And it didn't matter what time I went to bed, anything. It's just like, get up. You got to get up. And I woke up in a panic on like 3 different days thinking, oh, crap, I overslept. I got to get to work.
Yes.
And so that internal fear existed. I woke up this morning without the alarm going off. I woke up like 2 minutes before it. And
Roy always believed he no longer ever needed the morning alarm. That his body clock would wake him up exactly when he needed to.
I'm not comfortable enough to do that yet.
Well, Roy shouldn't have been either. The theory was not correct.
Because my alarm is supposed to go off at 5. I didn't wake up at 5 any day while I was out. But I did wake up on my own around 5:45, yes. 6 o'clock, something like that each time. So,
because my people will be like, why don't you just sleep in Saturday? No, why don't you just sleep in? Why are you tired on Saturday and Sunday at like 1 or 2? I'm like, because Monday through Friday... 1 or 2 hits me as my usual fatigue time waking up at 4. And then my sleep schedule doesn't just, I can't flip the switch on a weekend to sleep until 10 a.m., which I wish I could.
Well, I mean, I got up yesterday, for instance, at 6 or so. And Kristen was trying to tell me, she's like, just, you got to sleep in. Like, go back to bed, sleep in tomorrow. I was like, okay, I'm about to go back to work on Friday. I need to get back to as close to waking up on time as I need to. And even
well,
still,
that's pretty dumb.
But 6 a.m. is sleeping in for me. That's an hour extra than I normally get.
Yeah.
So I do feel like that is sleeping in.
All right, so lesson number one from Bobby, vacay, sleep schedule, screwed.
Number two, there is no winning with Sean Sharif. So I'm listening to The Expressway on Wednesday, and I hear you guys talking about weddings from Chopping It Up, where he's talking about the invitation to not come to the wedding or whatever it was.
The invite.
And you were talking about on-site weddings, like people who are all at the same location and in the same hotel. And you said that's great because then you won't get people like Bobby who are trying to make it about themselves.
I didn't say making it. Well, maybe I did. Yeah.
Peyton, if you will go look in your folder, it is in your folder, Peyton. Search it. It's called,
I'll believe it. You don't have to look.
It's Sean underscore Wednesday. Look for that clip. It's in there.
I love being in a spot where I know everyone's going to get messed up.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to have Bobby try to make it about him and bail, not have a drink. Yeah. I'm going to go to the big wedding. I'm not going to get drunk and do anything. I'm going to try to ruin everyone's time by leaving early, or maybe that would make everyone's time better.
So.
Okay.
I feel like.
Ring one up for Bobby.
I've been criticized routinely around here for making it about myself by drinking and by trying to stay out so late.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, where is the winning with you? Where am I able to win about not making it about me? What doesn't make it about me?
My issue with the other night, which was, by the way, a blast. I think your wife was texting my wife how much fun she had.
She was.
Because it was a freaking blast.
And I was being very amenable. She was saying, are you sure you don't want to go?
Oh my gosh, like, Amanda, she's like, why was Bobby so cool? Like, what was the big difference? And she's like, I hope, you know, we haven't gotten to him too. Well, I said that. She wouldn't have that sympathy or thought.
No, she wants me to change.
Yeah, she was. I said, well, I hope it didn't, like, scar him by busting his balls too much about when he drinks. And he just, like, went to the other side. But, man, he was so chill. He was so cool and chill. But you wanting to leave is what irritated and scared me. You kept trying to leave and go after the next drink, and that's when I threw a fit over.
I felt guilt.
But you stayed. You stayed till I all 2:30.
I didn't. I was.
Doesn't it make you feel good that I didn't want you to go anywhere?
Yes.
And I was like, Will, you can go. Go ahead. Bye. See you later.
And it was my preference at that time to go back because I felt bad about leaving the babysitter there.
Yep.
And
Kristen's like, they're there till we get home.
And Jacob came home and he ended up like just letting the babysitter off. And so by the end, I was tired. I was not anticipating going out that night. So I'd not like prepped for it, like taking a nap during the day or anything.
Let me ask you a follow up question. Mm-hmm. Being as sober as you were, did that make you crave being drunk with the rest of us, or were you like, this is kind of a refreshing change? Did it make you rethink at all, like, your level of wastedness in a moment like that?
I don't know, because you guys were all, I could definitely tell by the number of drinks you consumed, y'all were all drunk, but none of you were like sloppy,
right?
And so
even Kristen,
yeah, no, I mean, I was genuinely impressed with how well Kristen handled her liquor.
And I was trying to get shots too. I was making everyone take shots.
But man, I was just, it wasn't like y'all were sloppy. If everybody's sloppy and I'm not, I'm going to be sitting there going like,
this like Amanda would be annoyed. She'd like not be able to be around drunk people.
I'd be like, this is miserable. Yeah. Like being the only sober person. Yeah. But I mean, I wasn't, it's not like I didn't have, I had three drinks over the course of 6 hours.
Yes.
But I mean, I had two at the dinner table. So I had like a slight buzz early. The last 3 hours or so, nothing.
Yeah.
But overall, no, it was fun.
I think
fun.
You're around, a big difference is being around professional drunks, which John is a pro. I can be a pro back in my days. Will is a pro. And then you got the wild cards with the girls, and they were loving life with each other. So it was all good.
Will came over on Wednesday night and continued his professional drinking. So he had some of the dram.
I saw like a saltine cracker.
He did. I told him, I was like, I've got your palate cleanser here. And he's like, that was so overblown. It really wasn't.
It really wasn't. As Bobby's wife got like a sample drink, and Will thought it was a palate cleanser, and he scolded the waitress or the waiter saying, where's my palate cleanser? Where's my little palate cleanser? Where's my ginger?
Yeah, that's what. And so I told him, I was like, I've got saltines here. He's like, well, that actually is a palate cleanser. I will take one. And so he did take it because he was consuming all of the liquors you got me. So he tried each one of them.
Okay.
So we have broken into those. The Belfour's almost gone.
Okay.
That's almost out. I'm taking my time.
Is that the one
Choppy
said was the best?
No, that was the other one. The Belfour is the.
I think I may have stumbled upon a great deal, and this liquor store doesn't know it. For what I paid for all three bottles, because I had to buy them in that gift wrap basket. Mm-hmm. And RJ's like, no, the best one is not what Bobby wanted, which you told me was...
Will tried that one. Will said it was really good.
Okay.
I haven't tried that one yet, but we had the dram. He thought that he's like, yeah, dram's incredible.
What else did you learn?
So I need to get the hell out of our apartment. That's what I need to do.
Peyton, you're living at the Ritz compared to this, bro.
So Wednesday night was the first time in the entire week that I was out that I slept in my own bed. Thanks to the power going out for a third time in the last month. And by the way, this is not like a complex wide thing. It's like the first four buildings of our complex. It's the same transformer.
You moved apartments within the same complex.
Uh-huh.
Is that last apartment going out?
No.
And Kristen, didn't she pick this unit?
Yes. Which I brought up at dinner, right, really? To her face.
Yeah.
I was like, so Kristen, it's your fault.
It's ultimately,
along with your ski slope floor that you can do slalom races down.
She's still glad we switched because the other one had more windows than the current one, and it faced.
Oh God!
Listen.
More windows.
Listen.
Holy crap!
It was.
I want less windows.
It was ridiculously difficult to cool in the summer because it was like.
Are you paying the monthly AC bill or the apartment?
No, I am. Okay. Like it's the electric bill, and so I mean we used to in the summer,
but it's collective for the building, right?
No. It's not. It's not split up. It's for your unit.
Oh.
And so with the sun beating down on that, we would regularly get. $400 electric bills in a 900 square foot apartment.
Just get a curtain.
No, because that's it. You can put it on the inside, but they won't let you put anything on the outside window.
Right.
So that's the best way to keep it.
So you still got HOAs.
So yeah, essentially. Yeah. But the power went out for a third time in a month, and so to me, it's like, okay, Encore's clearly not fixing this. This is they're patching something, and so I'm like this close to just going Karen. And go into the
Sharon public, is the Twitch Twitch calls me
Shania, the Public Utilities Commission of Texas, and just lodging a complaint. Like they're not fixing this, or like would you check on this and make sure they are? Because we ended up having to stay at a hotel the first couple nights, and then when we came back, there was an ant pile outside one of the windows, and a bunch of like fire ants had been able to get in.
No,
yeah, and
oh
so
my gosh,
we took care of that.
Not bed bugs, but fire. So. How did you take care of it?
So she just had to spray it and stuff like that. And but
you saw ants in your place.
Yeah, they had like gotten in. And so that was something where they had to come through and figure it was like there was a window. The window sill was off or something. But ultimately, that ruined. And then we spent a couple days in Fort Worth for Stockyards, which was already planned. So those days I wasn't sleeping in our bed. And so it was a pretty rough stretch from that point. So I'm going to have to go about figuring out how to get the hell out of this particular unit at the very least, because I'm sick of it.
Third one in the same complex.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'd like to get a house, Sean.
Do you?
Yeah.
Peyton's got 92 degrees at his house.
Yeah, that's true.
He's leasing.
And he's not even owning it. He's just throwing it away. The fourth thing I learned, if I ever win the lottery, I'm going to continue to work in some capacity because I can't. I need to stay busy because Kristen was like concerned about me yesterday. She was like, you seem down about everything. You're not like you don't have your normal.
You missed us.
Like joy. Like I'm not that I'm an overly joyous person.
No, you're not.
But she's like, you seem like not even angry. She said you just seem like dead. And she was like, it's just a little. And as she told you over the weekend, I was doing housework while I was off. Because I was busy. Like, I felt like I had to.
I couldn't believe it.
I had to do something to fill up
Daddy
my time.
Daddy does work, and you just do housework.
Not anymore, honey. Kristen was getting mad. She told me yesterday, she's like, you're pissing me off. She's like, because she'd be up doing the dishes. I'd be like, go sit down. I'll do it. Or like, Jacob needs to get takeaway. I was like, I'll get up. I'll take him. I'll pick him up. And it's like, I'll do the dishes.
You came to the radio station to do your prep work on a day off.
Yeah, on a holiday.
No one. What did Kristen say to that when you're like, I have to get out of here. I'm going to work.
She was fine. She understood like I needed to just because I knew it was going to be a prep where I was going to have to really dig in because of what was going to be available out there in the news cycle. And so I was going to focus lockdown, do it. But I was sitting down doing dishes. I need something to occupy my time. I can't lounge around and rest up. As much as I tried, I can't do it. And so I would continue to work even if we hit that Powerball eventually.
A long way of saying he missed us, Pepe. He missed us like we missed him. Aw. All right, enough of all that. Expressway, commercial free, Junk Drawer. Ooh, is it going to rain? Watch, it'll rain right for Ollie's damn pool party tomorrow. Screw me over. I'll be stuck inside with all you idiots. All right.
Be great.
The moron on TV is reporting again that Jerry Jones is closer to selling than a Super Bowl. See if you buy it and see how much you would celebrate next on the Home of the Cowboys.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.